Romans chapter 5 and the first 5 verses. Paul has established that we sinners are justified, right in the sight of God, acquitted of our sins, made perfect in his sight by trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood to be the propitiation for our sins, taking the wrath of God for us. His blood washing us from our sins. His perfect righteousness clothing us. And the apostle says here, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, he's addressing these believers, those of us who have trusted Christ, he says, and since we have trusted Christ, through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, through Christ, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And that was the point all through chapter 4. It is through faith, not works, not circumcision, not law, not duties, not observations, not reason. But in the end, it's not faith itself. Faith is the way we receive this justification. But it's all by Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace wherein we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, and so on. Now, if you look in your Bible, you will see at verses 1, 2, and 3, there's the possibility that it should not be in the form of a statement. We have peace. We rejoice. We also rejoice. That is how the Bible has versions, the translators have translated it in the main. But there is an alternative. Let us have peace. Let us rejoice. Let us also rejoice. In other words, it's encouraging us, it's an exhortation to us to enjoy. Now, which is it? Well, it's very difficult to tell in the Greek. In the past, I have thought more on the factual statement. But I have come to see that I think that that's probably not right. I've come to feel now, to think now, that it should be more on the exhortation. The factual is quite right. But because of the factual, we do have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We do rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And we also do rejoice in our sufferings. But I think the main point here is, because we have these facts true about us, because these are the fundamental truths about ourselves, let us have peace with God. Let us enjoy this. Let us rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but let us also glory in our sufferings and rejoice in our sufferings. I've come to feel that almost certainly I want now to dwell upon the let us. And that's why I called this discourse. Justification. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Or perhaps I should say, enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us justification. I have to confess that too much of my Christian experience, has been a long one now, has been rather dry, factual, doctrinal. I think many in the Reformed and Evangelical world are taken with this and caught with this. We rejoice in doctrine. We glory in the argument of the gospel, the doctrine worked out. And of course it's wonderful, and I don't dissent from that. But Paul here, I think, is telling us, look, these are truths about us, brothers and sisters. Let us enjoy it. Let us enjoy Christ now. There's something to be enjoyed here, something to be joyful about. We have peace with God. Let's enjoy that and feel it. We are right with God. We are accounted righteous. We are perfect in his sight, sinless in his sight. Oh, that's antinomianism. No, it's not. It's gospel. It's apostolic gospel. There is no condemnation now to any man who's in Christ Jesus. He is perfected forever. those who are in Christ. There is no spot, stain, wrinkle, or any such thing. The blood of Christ washes us from every sin. He is the propitiation of the wrath of God for us. We do have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are in access to God. We have access to God. We are in God's presence. You remember Queen Esther? When her uncle told her to go to the king, Xerxes. And she said how fearful a thing it was to go into the presence of the king. Believer, we are in the presence of the King of Kings. We're in the presence of the Lord of Lords. And we have access to God by faith, through grace, into this standing position with God Himself. Let us enjoy it. Let us make use of it. Let us rejoice in it. Let us think of it. I have access to God Himself. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Hope, confident expectation, certain assurance. Paul is speaking here of assurance, confidence, hope, expectation, glory. It is ours now. We shall have it forever. Let us rejoice in our assurance. Let us rejoice in our present position. Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice in all that is to come to us. The hope of the glory of God. Yes, but you don't know my sufferings. Well, no man suffered like Paul. Yes, okay, we suffer. Of course we do. There's loss, there's bereavement, there's anxiety, there's fear, there's temptation. Oh, there are many sufferings. But we also know, let us also rejoice in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope. In other words, God uses even all these dark and difficult circumstances in our pilgrimage to bring us into glory and to hope. And there's no disappointment in it. And hope does not disappoint us. Why not? Because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This is the second time the Spirit has been mentioned in this book. But it's still only a passing reference. The full development will come in chapter 8. But God by His Spirit has given us, poured out into our heart. What? His love. By His Spirit. The Spirit has poured out His love into our hearts. God's love to us. We have the sense of God's love. Let us enjoy that. But God's Spirit has given us the grace to love God in between. We came into this grace and faith, access into the standing by faith, but now we learn to love God by His Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are here. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a privilege. What a joy it is for believers. Here we start this book, this gospel, in the wretched state of the plight they were in, under the wrath of God, dead in sins, ruined, condemned. Where have we reached now? We have access to God freely. Without our works, without our observances, without our duties, through Christ and in Christ, by His blood and righteousness. And we have His Spirit, giving us the love of God in the soul, His love to us, and enabling us to love back. And now we can actually enjoy God Himself. What is the chief end of man, says the Westminster Confession? What is the chief end of man? It's to know God. And to enjoy Him forever. To enjoy Him forever. As I say, too many Reformed and Evangelical people, the last thing that we do is rejoice and enjoy and glory in our redemption and our justification. To worship God, to enjoy Him forever, to know Him, to love Him, to serve Him, to bask in it all. This is the privilege of a Christian, and it's all in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is assurance, this is justification, this is sanctification, this is liberty, this is glory, and it's all in Christ. It's yours, believing brother and sister. Are you in difficulties today? Are you dry? Are you low? Are you arid? Let your mind and your heart and your tongue dwell upon these matters, upon Christ. Trust, love, adore, worship, bask in Christ today. Rejoice in Him, this hope and this glory. Unbelieving friend, what can I say to you? There's no words I can take to tell you this. Even these words here fail to bring it home to you. Unless God's Spirit shall teach you and bring you to Christ, you will never, never know what I'm talking about. They say that seeing is believing. That's not even true in the natural world. If you put a stick into water, a straight stick, it will appear bent because of refraction. Seeing is not believing. But in spiritual terms, in the gospel, you can see all this, you can understand all this, as it were, in the text of Scripture. But until you trust Christ, you will never prove it. But once you have felt Him and known Him and trusted Him, you will learn to love Him and you will enjoy all this. You do not know what you're missing. I speak to you wherever you are. You might be a Confucian, Muslim, a Hindu, a Sikh, a Buddhist, a Romanist, a Jehovah's Witness follower. You might be a Papist of any kind, and a high church sacramentalist, an atheist, an agnostic, whatever you might be. But if you have not got Christ, and you won't have Christ in those places, if you haven't got Christ, you haven't got words like this: hope, rejoice, pour out, love, rejoicing, glory, access. These belong only to the Christian, because they are found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not die in your sins. I offer Christ to you now. The forgiveness of your sins, being made right with God, and access to God, enjoyment of God, through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, having and knowing the assurance of peace with God. Let us, believer, enjoy it. Unbeliever, I'm offering it to you. You can enjoy it, but only by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Him now, and you will be saved. And this is what salvation means. When I was a boy, just after the Second World War in England, we had things called utility. Books and clothes made, they were passable and they were utilitarian, they did the job, but there was nothing luxury about it. The gospel is not utility. It does work, but it's not basic. It's absolute spiritual luxury. Believer, you are rich beyond a king's ransom. You are rich beyond words to describe it. It's all found in Christ. We've been made rich in Him. He became poor that we might be made rich in Him. And what does Paul say here? We have peace, yes. We do rejoice, yes. But I think really what he says is, let us enjoy this peace. Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice. I say again, rejoice. Christ is your justifier. Enjoy Him now and forever.